Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk Podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I'm Joseph Silverswine.
We cover Utes on various locations, me mainly on this podcast, Joseph at...
Everywhere, Rivals, Winners, here, Twitter.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. I'm busy.
Either way, we're going to hit our quick hitters, tell you what's going on in the Kuzma Watch, talk about the other sports programs, then we're going to talk a little spring football. I have one point to make on that. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the NIT run and how important it is, whether it is important or not, and then talk about what's actually happened. So it should be a good time. And as we're getting to the tail end here, gymnastics is getting to the end, basketball season's almost over, spring football's gonna be probably the primary focus, but we're looking for what you guys want to hear this off season. We're still planning on recording on a weekly basis, and we'd love to hear your ideas. We'll probably use hopefully a lot of them, unless they're completely bogus, but we will consider it a brainstorming.
They're illegal.
Yeah, totally. So please email us utetalk@gmail.com or check us out on Twitter @utetalkpodcast. And of course, you're welcome to contact Joseph or I directly on Twitter. But before we get started, one more thing of news and notes, our notes part would be, don't forget to go and give us a review. We need a reviews. Helps us get more acknowledgement on the search engines when people are looking for Utah sports. And so please give us a review. Let us know what you think. We really need the feedback. But let's move on. So, as always, Kuzma Watch.
Kuzma Watch. My sounder skills are limited this week by a cold. There it is.
I'm hitting the button. It's not working. That's unfortunate. All right. Well, Kuzma's, you know, he took a break against Golden State here recently, but he's really picked things up since we last talked about him. 27 points on the 19th, almost a double-double, 11 against Miami, and then 26 against Denver, and that's a good team. We really appreciate that, Kuzma, as Jazz fans. So
And was seen wearing an interlocking U t-shirt during warm-ups recently instead of his Lakers gear. So
I wonder if you're really allowed to do that.
University. I don't know.
Who knows? But hey, thanks for the plugs, Kuzma. And good job. He's really, you know, he hit a wall. It feels like he's recovering. So good for Kuzma. Good for the Lakers. They're on a good run themselves. And as Jazz fans, we'll appreciate any time they want to beat someone in the playoffs above the Jazz. Denver being their last victim, in case you didn't know. So, on to our other quick hitters. So, in case you didn't know, you could probably guess this. Mikayla Skinner won Gymnast of the Week in the Pac-12.
Wake me up when she isn't Gymnast of the Week.
It's literally that good. I will say this, though. The Georgia meet was a lot of fun. It was senior awesome. Night.
It was 198.15.
Insane score.
Now, I was looking into it. There's not a good record of every score every team has scored somewhere, but it looks like it would be maybe a top five score for any team in the whole season. So a really, really, really nice score to get that 198.15.
Yeah, and I fully expect, you know, with a score like that, this team is totally a contender, in my opinion. But let's hear. So they beat Georgia. The one cool thing was it was senior night, and I was there, and it was cool to see the fans' appreciation for the seniors specifically. You know, Maddie Stover only competes on the beam. She finishes her beam routine. Fans give her a standing O, but it's That's an nice. Awesome moment. Same thing with Tiffany Lewis when she finished her last event, which was floor for her, and standing ovation. And then, of course, McKenna Merrill Giles goes and gets a 10 on the floor, like right after. It was a very impressive floor. I mean, 198 is, they haven't done this for a little while.
No, that's a very, very
impressive. It's a great score.
I'd say like putting up 70 in a football game kind of feel.
angle to it.
You don't have a defense, so, but it's not something that you can do even on a good day unless everything goes your way.
Right.
98 is really impressive.
Yeah. So, Pac-12 championships this week. So we'll see how they do. Obviously, I think it's between them and UCLA, and we'll see what happens. But
there's
it should be a
good
one.
Teams in the conference, but in terms of winning the thing, I think that's right.
Yeah. Other news: Aztec Invitational in LA for track and field. Baseball's got a series of games against Sacramento State. Softball is playing Stanford this weekend, and I think it's a 3-game series. And the Of course, it's also, in case you didn't know, rivalry week once again.
It's always rivalry weekend.
Men's tennis taking on BYU.
That's right. Crucial to the Deseret Duel.
Actually, irrelevant to the Deseret Duel.
Oh, okay.
The only game that matters for the Deseret Duel is literally the football game.
To the points, though.
Yeah, there's points and everything, but whoever wins the football game wins it.
So it's
kind of
like Family Feud. You
mm-hmm.
have 3 rounds, but the first 2 rounds don't matter because the points triple in the third one.
Exactly.
This really frustrates the mathematician in me. I said, why do we even play the first 2 rounds? Just because Steve Harvey is funny? Like, it's a good reason, but...
I don't know. Sometimes his jokes... we don't have to get into comedic taste,
there,
I guess.
There are valid criticisms of Steve Harvey, a number of them, but I think he's a good host to that show.
All right. Well,
let's move on.
There's our
back
quick hitters.
Sports.
Yeah. So, you know, look, guys, we're giving you these plugs for what's going on in the youth sports world. Go follow our Olympic teams. You don't have to just be a basketball or a football fan. Go or a gymnastics fan, because, I mean, they're selling out the Huntsman all the time. So clearly there's plenty of gymnastics fans too. But go support baseball, support softball.
The accessibility in the other sports is so cool. I mean, you really can get involved, and just by being there and being present, you develop a real relationship with the teams. And
yeah. And lacrosse, I believe lacrosse is starting soon too.
Yeah, and it's the sports are fun, and you know, if there were a sport you played in high school that you know more about than other people, or an Olympic sport you like to watch, take in a game or a meet or a match or whatever they do, and you know, come support your student athletes.
Exactly. So, in case you didn't know, spring football is still going on.
It was spring break, and I think it is still spring break. Or are they back now? I am not following spring football in the way I'm usually accustomed to for a number of personal reason.
Ultimately, how important is spring football?
It's fluff.
It's not.
It's fluff. It's
good practice.
It's good for the kids. In terms of coverage, I think there's always way too much analysis.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to be the starting running back? I mean, you don't even have your whole roster, so you don't know. Never mind freshmen having the off season to bulk up and things like that.
I mean, I'll say my only thing with spring football is I just don't want any injuries. And I don't think there have been any up to this point, knock on wood.
Yes, yes, lots of knocking. I don't think so. I haven't heard of any, which, I mean, this is a secretive topic for coaches.
That's true.
So you never know. But usually if there's a big injury, it kind of leaks out.
And I love that basketball. Coach K's, Larry K's, following suit on the injury stuff, not leaking anything or trying not to until, you know, Bill Walton leaks it over national television. But
Walton is a rogue actor. He's difficult to predict.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's good to see the kids getting some time. Her hearing in general, this is not going to surprise anybody. Really good things about the defensive line, in particular the interior line. One good news is breakouts in wide receivers. Bronson Boyd's meeting
good
expectations, and other players continue to step up. So there's been a lot of hopefulness and excitement about that unit. Of course,
we don't have everybody we hope to contribute yet, because Britton Covey, while he's been seen on the sidelines and is in town, and is, by the way, a U, he's not going to BYU.
He hasn't transferred yet.
Not yet. But Covey will be there in the fall. We'll get a chance to see him suit up again in his size XXS jersey. And then the other guy who's been seen, no confirmation, no comment, NCAA restrictions keep anybody from talking about him, is Francis Bernard, who you may remember had a run-in with the law right before BYU's season started last year, was rumored to be exploring a transfer to Utah. That kind of fizzled out, maybe based on some more rumors, Kalani Sitake not supporting a transfer, that kind of stuff. He, I believe, enrolled at Salt Lake Community College, spent the year there, which renews his eligibility, and he should be eligible to play and start, or contribute, I should say, in starting in fall. So I think that's what I'd look for Francis Bernard. And he's a really good player, folks. He could definitely break the rotation at linebacker.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, but once again, spring ball, just let's not have any injuries.
Have fun. Go see the red and white game, which is
April 14th.
Yes.
1 p.m., I believe.
So go see that. It's fun. It's a good chance to get up close to some of these guys and enjoy it. Whatever you do, don't read too much into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk some basketball.
Yeah,
right?
It's been fun.
They're still playing.
Fun. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
The only Pac-12 team still playing basketball, and also the only Pac-12 football team to win a postseason game, is the Utes. It's been a rough year for mainstream Pac-12.
Looking at you, Larry Scott. Well, do you want to talk games first, or you want to talk relevancy of the NIT and whether we should care?
Oh, we should care. Let's talk about the games, and then if you want to chip away at the fun, you can.
Okay, so they dominated LSU.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was. It was an absolute.
My boss, I guess she runs my client, but really she's my boss. She's from Louisiana, big LSU fan, so I had some fun with that at the office this week.
Yeah, I mean, so some crazy things happened in that game, though, that I wanted to mention.
Sure.
First, the team shot over 50% from the three-point line,
they were
which
over
is insane.
90% for most of the first half. It was incredible. They just couldn't miss a shot. Slowed down a little bit towards the end of the first half, and in the third quarter in particular,
right.
I feel like their shooting slowed down.
That quarter stuff.
Man, it was hot. Yeah, there were quarters.
Yeah, so in case you didn't know, NIT testing on a couple things. This is kind of like where the NCAA likes to test new rule potentials. So they've scooted the international... Scooted the three-point line beyond to the international line. So it's just it's not very much of an extension.
Not NBA, but
definitely not NBA. No,
Didn't stop the Utes.
No,
from
well, and it's
down.
It's still pretty close. Like I see that new line, and I think like what is it? It's one step back. Like anyone who's a decent three-point shooter should be able to hit that three-point shot
it's
at the same
from
clip.
The lethal sniper of the fighting Grants.
Oh my gosh.
I understand.
We're not talking about
that. Is a Jimmer-esque talent.
Whoa.
From deep.
No. No.
I should
not
perhaps
even close.
Say, I don't know, Justin Bivens. He's a pretty good three shooter.
I mean,
I don't want
to
plug
to
Jimmer.
Speak 3-point shooters, he shot 57% from the 3-point line.
Justin Bivens-esque.
Biller shot 75% against them to shoot from the 3-point line. It's just insane shooting. Yeah. I mean,
what stinks is
here's the crazy thing.
There's no reason to think that's going to happen tonight.
No, it's not happening tonight, for one. Two,
St. Mary's is good.
I mean,
we'll get to that.
That level of shooting, I haven't pulled it up, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to how UMBC upset UVA type shooting.
Right, it's just,
insane. You're just not LSU. Whoever is playing against a team shooting like that is not going to win because you just can't. You're not stopping that kind of shooting.
Even
it's just,
if it's a 16 and a 1, never mind that Utah has a, you know, athletic and coaching talent advantage over LSU.
So let's move on to St. Mary's, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
St. Mary's, did you watch their game against Washington?
I watched some of it. I watched about half of it. It's hard to get two games in a row in my house with my little kids and everything, and nobody likes basketball, so it's a fight. But
so watching they played one. Their ball movement is spectacular. Mm-hmm. Like, the Utes are really going to have to be on point defensively to slow these what are they, the Gales? To slow down the St. Mary Gales offense. But the one thing that really gave me hope is Washington, I can't remember the name of their, I think it was Dixon or something, their big guy who averages like 5 points a game all season and then starts shredding them, posting them up. And it gives me hope that Collette is going
to
have a monster game. And
hopefully
this game's going
to
be very entertaining is what I'm expecting.
Their big man, by the way, is named, it's like if you were writing a basketball movie. His name is Jock Landale. That's his actual name.
Yep.
And
he's a good player too.
He's 6'11", 255. And I mean, I just wish that I had the guts to name my kids. It was Canadian.
Oh, it's Canadian?
Academy is from Victoria, Canada.
Okay, gotcha.
I wish I had the guts to name my kid something like that. Like, I always think about when I'm watching football, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. I mean, sure, now he's this enormous, I think he's a defensive tackle. He's some kind of lineman, 300 pounds. He looks like a DeBrickashaw. But when you're holding a 7.5-pound wrinkly little squealing infant in your arms that can barely open its eyes.
Hold on, hold on.
This little slug creature covered in paste looks like a DeBrickashaw.
Or a jock.
Yeah, or jock.
But
I mean, that takes bold.
So here's a question.
A bold move.
Let's continue this tangent for a minute.
Okay.
Did you name your children when they were born? Or did you have the name selected prior to?
So our first one we named almost before my wife was pregnant. We knew we wanted to name her Amelia Rose if she was a girl, and we did. And she loves her name as much as we do. If you tell her, hey, Amelia, she'll say, it's Amelia Rose. She really likes her whole name. Our son, we had two or three, and then he was born. We were like, William. He's a William. So I get your point. But still, you still, at some point, you're holding this thing. And if you guys haven't had kids, a newborn baby never looks like a DeBrickashaw. Never.
I don't know. Apparently he did.
I mean, I've seen pictures of 20-pound babies, and they don't look like.
But can you imagine if Jock here was like turned out to be a little pipsqueak, like
right?
5'4".
What if you just regret this?
100-0
yeah.
And just no athletic ability. How horrible would that be?
Is 5'7", and he loves comic books, and I mean, and he's introducing himself to his friends as DeBrickashaw. And I mean, no judgment, right? I'm 5'8". I am no athlete. I am in awe of Grant's athletic talents.
One, you haven't seen them. Two, they're not athletic. I've gotten one compliment on my athleticism in my life.
I can't even run across the court without having to stop for breath. I'm distinctly an unathletic person, despite being reasonably fit. I'm just not athletic. I'm Jewish. This is why. You'll get used to it. It's just sort of one of the curses of my people is a very low frequency of superior athleticism. So when you spot one, we get really excited.
Really cheer for them.
Ike Davis was a Mets first baseman, mm-hmm. big strapping 6'2", Adonis. And it's not really something you get very often among the chosen people. So it's,
Well, in case you didn't know, the game's starting at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah,
and it's on ESPN2. Hopefully it won't get bumped to ESPNU again because of a game before it. I hate that personally. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a good game. I think you've got the Utes play some really good defense, and they're going against a team that really moves the ball well, can shoot, has Jock Landale in the post. They also have, I'm blanking out on the guy's name, but it wasn't actually Landale who was their post guy or their big guy scoring last week or earlier this week.
But yeah, the Gales are one of the very best teams left out of the tournament. They went 30-5.
They totally should have been in the tournament.
Absolutely should have been in the tournament. They're KenPom, they're number 29. So to be number 29 in the KenPom, I mean, estimated as the 29th best team, and not to make it into a group that purports to be, without with exceptions because of championships, but purports to be the top 64 teams in the country. I mean, that's crazy. Whereas Utah is where you expect to see a bubble team. Utah's 61st in KenPom.
Yeah.
And that's where bubble teams usually are. They're Boise State's right there, who was relatively high seed in the NIT. Washington beat them. So that's where your bubble team usually is. So it's really weird that they're not in the tournament. And they're playing really well, and you never know how a team's going to react. But at this point, I think the product in the NAIT, and this gives a chance to segue into the final thing, once you get past the first two rounds, if it's your high seeds bumping through and they're not, sometimes one seed doesn't even want to be there, and they don't show up to a game and they get whooped. But once you get into these games and then in New York, they're good teams, and the quality, the product is really high-end, and it's fun to watch, and it matters to these guys. I mean, when you're in Madison Square Garden, it matters. And it's not about what is written on the trophy you're playing for. This is a championship, and it's just a couple games away.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't want to devalue the NIT. I think it serves this team a lot of good, especially when you're getting guys like Donnie Tillman and Bearfield some more experience,
got
some more time on the floor.
Third string got some practice the other
Yeah,
night.
They did. That was crazy. There's like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter,
just,
and the subs are still coming in.
Jacking up these terrible shots. And
there was literally a point where I was like, who shoots the ball with this lineup? Like, is it like our best options Caldwell or Jake Connor as far as actually putting up a shot?
Yeah, it's not.
And then Caldwell hit a three, but
okay.
Of course he hit a three, right? 57%.
Everybody.
But
three.
I could have hit a three in that game, for goodness sake. But so I'm pro the experience, and heck, if they make it to Madison Square Garden, that'll be awesome. It'll be awesome for them. I was totally cheering for Washington to win against St. Mary's so we could get another home game here in Utah, the Huntsman. That would be awesome.
They're just better than Washington teams.
Yeah.
So.
Well, St. Mary's proved they're way better than Washington.
And I don't.
As much as that game was close, St. Mary's always seemed to be in control. But
I didn't watch the end. I watched the beginning. At the beginning, and it was pretty obvious who the dominant team was, and it didn't seem like it was ever going to inch to a... I was surprised when I looked at the final score. It was as close as it was.
No, it was a good game. But we'll see. Do you want to throw down some predictions?
Yeah, I mean, grain of salt, whole shaker full here.
you know, we're our education on these teams is minimal, but yeah, what do you got?
I'm gonna go full homer here. Why not? Utah by 3.
Wow.
In overtime.
The Gales are good, and I don't feel like Utah this season got over the hump with a team that's good. I mean, they beat some teams that were okay, or that were, you know, tournament quality or those kinds of things, but every time they played a good team, like when they played Arizona, they just couldn't quite do it. And I think on the road, they'll fall victim to that again. I think St. Mary's is going to win by 8.
Negative, Nancy.
Yep. Yeah, I'm feeling sick and cranky, so I'm taking the opposition.
All right. Well, there you go. Choose which of us you think's right. Feel free to badger Joseph as much as you'd like.
Come at me.
But either way, watch the game tonight and enjoy. I'll be watching as I work away. But let's hear. Oh, final notes. Please give us a review. Please contact us. Ideas, feedback, anything. We're about to hit the off season for the major sports.
Yeah, so we got time. We got half an hour here once a week to talk about lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to hear about rugby? We'll figure out how to talk about rugby.
Yeah. You want to hear about the esports program that the U has?
Oh, yeah, I actually.
We're going to work on that.
If people are interested in that, I have some pretty good contacts up there because I'm super nerdy, so they like me just on instinct.
All right. Interesting.
And so I can probably actually get somebody in at least to call in, maybe even into the studio. And I'm working on Emily Potter of Women's Basketball fame and some recent really interesting articles in some local media, and hopefully get her in like we had Jay Wash in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. So please fill us in with your ideas and your feedback at utetalk@gmail.com and at utetalkpodcast on Twitter. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.